Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the science fiction story of free speech, because you never know what you're going to hear. Are we going to hear aliens? Are we going to hear... what else is in science fiction? Aliens? Well, I mean, you had Jules Verne, you had H.G. Wells, The Time Machine. Time Machine, that's a good one. And First Man on the Moon, Journey to the Center of the Earth, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, The Invisible Man, all sorts of stuff. Science fiction. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, it's badly needed. Okay, this is a Boomer Vision. This is a Friday show. And often I have Paul Stevenson on Friday. If you want to hear Paul Stevenson and I, just go to the Last Man Standing from last weekend. There's an excellent show there. Often I have Philbert on. Philbert is working on a special show on cybersecurity, which is going to be very, very important. But today, it's just me and my dog crew, and we're on the dog walk. We're on patrol. We're on the dog patrol. You know, over the past year or so, 6-7 months even, the dog patrol has been pretty much everywhere in the Eastern and Central time zones. We've been all over. We have had dog patrols in Chicago and New York City, in San Antonio. Had lunch with Mark Dankoff in Round Rock, Texas. Go to Round Rock, Texas. That would be 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302. Yes, it is. Round Rock, Texas. Whatever the zip code is. I never bothered to memorize the zip code. But that's also the place where you can send the fundage. It is RBN. Make out the checks to RBN. Or the cash. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas. You can do that. So, we've been there. We were in Mobile, Alabama. We were in my dog crew and Dr. Duke's dog, we took a walk together. And we went to Mobile. We went to Pensacola. We went to Atlanta and Richmond and Charlottesville and obviously Chapel Hill. Out in Western... David County, where Farron Schoaf is, Missouri, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Cleveland, just everywhere you can imagine. The dog crew has been there. Erie, Pennsylvania. The dog crew has been there. We've done that. We've gone all over, and then of course the dog crew has been in. It's been in Target and Walmart and CVS. The dog crew goes into these places. It's been in the strip malls. It's been on the university campuses, bunch of university campuses, schools, high schools, elementary schools, and we see what's going on. And so, here's the thing. Today, I actually don't want to talk to my RBN audience. Nothing against you. No, it's not like that. Today, I want to talk to future historians, because future historians are already having trouble understanding what's going on. I mean, future historians have been struggling with this for a long time, because nothing makes any sense. So I want to have a show talking to future historians, who may be human, or they may be aliens from, one of Tucker Carlson's UFO planets. I don't know. Or they could be artificial intelligence that takes over. Because, you know, why would artificial intelligence just stop at replacing, you know, script writers and computer programmers? Why not just replace everybody? I mean, technology, the Luddites famously smashed technology. The looms in Manchester 200 years ago. Do you know what the word sabotage comes from? A sabot is a wooden shoe. And French mill workers, they threw their wooden shoes into the gears of machinery to sabotage it. That is where the term comes from. You can look it up. So I want to talk to these future historians and try to explain to them how it was that civilization collapsed. Okay? So, well, first of all, let's talk about civilization. So, I mean, we had our humanity. It's been around. Supposedly, anatomically modern humans evolved or turned up or whatever. I'm going to say evolved. Just run with me. In Africa, somewhere in Africa, in 200,000 years ago. And for a long time, you know, nothing happened because they're Africans. What do you expect? But at some point, some of these anatomically modern humans left Africa, probably a few different waves. And of course, they encountered other humans that were not anatomically modern, but like Neanderthals, Homo erectus, Denisovans, some other animals. The Philippines and in Mindanao, and in not Timor, where would it be? Flores. There are like these little dwarf humanoids. But at any rate, the anatomically modern humans started leaving Africa, and there was one big, well, maybe not big wave, but one important wave that came out that seems to be the ancestors of most non-Africans. Certainly the ancestors, or the major ancestors of Europeans and Asians and American Indians and whatnot. I have the feeling that the Aborigines might actually be from a separate out of Africa event, maybe a prior one, but whatever. So, it's still, I mean, you're talking about many tens of thousands of years ago, 60,000 years ago, whatever, and still not a whole lot went on, but of course there are ice ages going on. After the last glacial maximum, so we're talking about 10 to 12,000 years ago, you started getting interesting things happening with first domestication of some plants and animals. When were dogs domesticated? That was the first domesticated animal, was the dog. And I'm not sure if there's a firmly agreed upon date, but it goes way back. And then I guess after that it would be sheep. And it's sheep and goats. Eventually you get to horses. Oh, you got oxen. Horses are maybe somewhat later. I guess that's around the steppes, the Ukraine area, maybe like 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Camels are... camels, I don't think, were domesticated in like Moses' time, but they were domesticated by Jesus' time, something like that. Guinea pigs, after that. Lemurs, I don't know. Anyway, and then you had domestication of these grains, and you started getting these settled areas, settlements, which became towns, which became cities. And you know, what is the definition of city? I think it's where you've got not just people living together, but they're engaged in different occupations. There's enough food surplus that you can have people who spend their lives weaving or doing metallurgy or things like that, and things that you start. And then one of the hallmarks of civilization is, one of them is cities. Another one is writing. So you get this. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. You get civilization. You get it in, well, certainly you get it in this Fertile Crescent. That's typically what you hear about as being the oldest. But, you know, if you go to Europe, actually, and if you're going back to Europe, say, 4,000 or 5,000 BC, 4,000, this would be before the pyramids, you did have pretty big settlements. You had what you could call very large towns that were a square mile or so, which is pretty big, with a lot of houses. Didn't have writing, though. I guess that's, if you look up old Europe, you'll know what I'm talking about. But you started getting all of these aspects of civilization in the Middle East. And you also got it in Southeast Europe, you know, in Greece. You got it in Egypt. You got it in the Indus River Valley. You got it in the Yangtze or Yellow River Valleys in China. Eventually, you got it in the New World, but much later, in the Mayans and Aztecs. But, I'm talking to the future historians. So the European one was special. Why was it special? It wasn't because it's the earliest. I mean, you know, unless you want to kind of bend the definition of civilization so you can call that old Europe that I just mentioned. But even then, the old Europe, the people of the old Europe, these would have not really been the same as the modern Europeans. The old Europe, these people would have been mostly the same gene pool as Middle Eastern farmers. They would have been pretty much the same gene pool as Middle Easterners. What happened was when these people in the steppe got horses and wheels, they came in and this is much later. This is after the pyramids were built. This, we're talking about like 2000 BC. These people from the steppes, speaking Indo-European language, came in and conquered these farmers in Europe. They conquered the Etruscans and other groups that were in Europe that were, in the case of the Etruscans, they were certainly civilized. They had writing. We can't read it, but they had writing. And it was the melding of these two people. And there were some, even before the Middle Eastern farmer types, there, we are still partly descended, maybe 15% or so descended from Ice Age hunter-gatherer types. But whatever. Anyway, the European people, as we think of them now, are basically the mixture of these three groups. The least important of them is the hunter-gatherers, the Ice Age hunter-gatherers. Hey, we're going this way. But it's really the melding of the Middle Eastern farmers who more or less invented agriculture, and then these Indo-European types that had invented the wheel and hooked it up to a horse. And that's what really created the European people, okay? And does that mean that the European people were better than the Chinese or the Indians or whatever? That's not the point. But And when did Europe really, really become special? Well, you know, you'll hear lots of, there are a lot of proud Chinese people who will point to aspects or eras of Chinese history where it's measurably more advanced than what was going on in Europe. And I mean, you could find that. But certainly, by the time Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue, certainly by that time, Europe was way ahead of the game. Even though 50 years prior to that, this Chinese eunuch admiral led a very large fleet around the perimeter of the Indian Ocean, as far as, I think, Zanzibar in Africa. So, I mean, maybe that's kind of arguable, but the thing is, by the time Columbus sailed, the Europeans had spent a couple of centuries building these cathedrals. And the cathedrals, there's nothing on earth in that period of time technologically comparable to the cathedrals. The cathedrals, you know, you could, oh, the pyramids. Well, the pyramids are basically just heaps of stones, you know, maybe with tunnels in them, but just heaps of stones with tunnels in them. Yeah, but the cathedrals were just massive structures with space so high. Anyway, you can argue about that if you want. But once Columbus sails the ocean blue, it just ushers in these 5 centuries of European dominance of the world. And this is what's, you see, the thing is, these future historians, I'm talking to you future historians, you're trying to figure out what the hell happened. Because the European people built world civilization. There were Chinese civilization, there was Mayan civilization. But what world civilization was an extension of European civilization. That's what we've been living in. And, you know, if you go to Tokyo, you see people walking around wearing pretty much the same clothing that the English middle class were wearing in the 1800s. Pretty much the same. The white shirts, the collars, and all that stuff. Pretty much the same. And, you know, the architecture doesn't look like old Japanese or Chinese architecture. It looks like Western architecture. So, and, you know, so much else. So, you had the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, the technological revolution. They all took place in Europe or in the European settlements outside of Europe. So North America in particular, Australia. And so for 5 centuries, Europeans dominated the earth. If you get a map from the early 1900s, from the late 1800s, even from the late 1700s, you look at it. Well, first of all, you would only have a European map because nobody else could make a map of the world back then. Only Europeans could, because the Europeans figured it all out. They figured out longitude. Latitude, not so hard. Longitude was hard. So they were able to draw maps, and then they colored them in, and they colored them in their own colors. If Britain was pink, then India was colored in pink. And, wow, that was a weird flash in the sky. I guess it's electric lightning. Or maybe it's just God telling me something. I don't know. I guess it's some sort of lightning. Anyway, I hope I don't get rained on. So,
does it say about a society who elects people who can't quote their own founding documents? I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, just in case you ever need to use your Second Amendment right to bear arms. We all had fun with President Biden having a little brain fart quoting the Declaration of Independence. You know the thing. Well, last weekend, Vice President Harris did something far more sinister. She intentionally left out life in listing our unalienable rights. Clearly, she did this because she was speaking to a pro-abortion group, but that doesn't explain her first omission. The second, before omitting life as an unalienable right to pander to the crowd, she left out God to create the new progressive version of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Our rights do not come from an all-powerful government, and that is what makes the United States the greatest nation in the history of the world. We are doomed to tyranny if we allow our politicians to forget or ignore that. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
I guess it's electric lightning, or maybe it's just God telling me something. I don't know. I guess it's some sort of lightning. Anyway, I hope I don't get rained on. So, where was it? The French color everything in purple, and the Spain. These are weird lights. My God, what the hell's going on? Okay. So it took over, and we went to the moon. Like it or not, we went to the moon. We figured out. Just like, as, I know a lot of people have their ideas, but we seem to have, I'll use this term, we seem to have figured out all sorts of things about space, the age of the universe, things that, like, really, we don't even have any business knowing. What's the point of knowing it? But we seem to know it. And not just the very big, but the very, very small. We seem to know what matter is made of. It's just amazing what European civilization, which morphed into world civilization, what it achieved. And yet, it's gone. It's gone. Well, I'm talking to future historians. I mean, so it's not gone yet. My RBN audience is still there, but for the future historians, it's gone. It's gone. What happened? And honestly, I can tell you, at least up to a point, I can tell you. And what happened, sorry to say, what happened was Jews. Yeah, what happened was Jews. So Jews wound up taking over the biggest and most important countries, you know, over periods of time. They took them over, and even before they took them over, they didn't necessarily take them over, but became very, very influential. And so you can look, well, I mean, even, you can look way back, even before Jews were completely, or even before Europe was completely dominant in the world, Jews had important positions often in Europe, between the monarchs who ruled and the peasants, you know, as tax farmers and tavern keepers and whatnot. They played a role. And then, you know, you can look at the role of the House of Rothschild as a bank, as bankers. You know, going back to the Napoleonic Wars, you can go back to that, and you know, in the 1800s, the role in the Opium Wars, you can look at that. But it's been, I would say, it's been increasing, and they went from being merely influential to literally taking over major countries. The first one that they literally took over was Russia, in what is called the Russian Revolution, but it was a Jewish, predominantly Jewish, Bolshevik takeover. Hey, come here. It was a Jewish takeover. And from that bastion in Soviet Russia, Bolshevik Russia, they spread their influence. But ultimately, they were Russia or Soviet Union was taken back, but Jews became very powerful. They increased their power in America, in particular, and most importantly, in America. And it's hard to point to any single event or any single point in time, but they've certainly gotten to the point where, as we're recording in February 2022, you've got pretty much a Jewish stranglehold on society. And, you know, you can look at the American government and you can see that the most important governmental positions, the cabinet positions, and to an extent the legislative positions also, are occupied by Jews. So the Senate is run by Chuckie Schumer. You also have the cabinet. You know, you have Biden, who obviously is not a leader. He's infirm, and he's got a ditzy. But he's infirm. But he has had, now he's on his second Jewish chief of staff, and then his vice president, who probably doesn't have too much impact on things, but she's waiting in the wings, and she's got a Jewish husband. But who's actually running things? I would say the cabinet is running things. It's kind of ruled by committee, and you look at the cabinet people, and they're the important posts are Jews. Anthony Blinken at Secretary of State, Janet Yellen at Secretary of Treasury, Merrick Garland at Attorney General, Alejandro Mayorkas at
the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the Snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
Oh, yeah, me. February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Jews, Anthony Blinken as Secretary of State, Janet Yellen at Secretary of Treasury, Merrick Garland at Attorney General, Alejandro Mayorkas at Homeland Security, and Avril Haines, Director of National Intelligence, DNI. And of course, like I mentioned, you have the, you went from Ron Klain as Chief of Staff to, what's this guy's name? Oh gosh. He was the, he was the COVID director or something. I can't quite remember. What's his name? It slipped my mind, but he's only been in there. You'll just go look it up. And he's a Jew. And then you look at the media and the media companies. I'm not going to go through it all, but the media is dominated by Jews. The big tech companies, which are just as important as the media, again, dominated by Jews, you know, Google and YouTube and Facebook. Twitter, which is much smaller, is not dominated by Jews currently. But, you know, you got all this stuff going on. And a lot of other important industries. Also, academia, You know, I've gone through, I think currently it's 6 out of 8 presidents of the Ivy League schools are Jewish. You have Jewish domination of academia, which is important, and you have Jewish domination of a lot of industries, if not domination, massive over-representation, to the point that effectively, even if you want to be very cautious and conservative in what you say, Jews have a veto power over what's going on in the United States. They absolutely have a veto over what goes on. And they are able to maintain a complete taboo on the discussion of Jewish power. And that's the most important thing. So, okay, let's go on with it. Okay, so future historians, I've established that Jews took control over the most important country, United States. They've taken, for a while, they had control of Russia. And they do that, how can they, well, one of the things that's so important is that Americans can't tell the difference between Jews and non-Jews. Your average American at Walmart, I would say probably 95, 99% maybe of Americans do not know that all of those cabinet members that I just named are Jews. They don't know these things. And they look at, I mean, I don't know how anybody could look at or listen to Janet Yellen and not immediately recognize her as a Jew, because honestly, she sounds just like Kyle's mom from South Park. And Kyle's mom is intended to be a stereotype of a Jew. But people don't even know that. And Anthony Blinken, these people, they don't know. Alejandro Mayorkas, they think he is like some, you know, Mexican. Arribe, arribe. But he's a Jew. He's 100% Jewish. So there you go. People don't know it. It's through stealth. And this is, they can do this in America. They could not do it in China, which is why they're alarmed at China. Because the Chinese would realize, not just that Chinese are smarter, but because they couldn't pass it off. But you see, in a diverse America, in a diverse America where whites are from Greece and they're from Norway and they're from Slovenia and they're from Ireland and Italy and Scotland and England and Germany, it's very diverse. Even the white people are very diverse. Lebanon and Armenia. And so to throw Jews in that mix, they don't stick out the way they might have, the way perhaps Benjamin Disraeli might have stuck out a bit in England, because England had a much more homogenous gene pool. They might have stuck out a bit more. But in America, no, people don't even know. People don't know. Okay, so I've established that Jews run America. Well, how did they destroy it? How did Jews destroy civilization? I'm talking to the future historians. Well, what they did is they destroyed the white people who are the creators of world civilization. They're actually destroying white people as a race. So what you see going on? Okay, first of all, you got the massive immigration. They have, over the decades, they have convinced white people that they have to allow in random people from all over the globe. They have to. It's a moral priority. It's a moral priority. You can go back to the 1965 Immigration Act and the debate over it in Congress, and it was a moral priority. It was a tribute to the slain, to the martyred President John F. Kennedy, that we stop being racist in our immigration law. Don't worry. I mean, we can nominally stop being racist, but don't worry, it's not really going to change the demographics. So they were told. But of course it did. And you know, some people come in legally through the 1965 Immigration Act and the chain migration that allowed. And then there's other visa programs, the lottery, you know, the diversity lottery and all these other programs. And then, of course, there's massive illegal immigration. So, A, the countries, and it's not just in the United States this is happening, but the countries that white people live in are being completely overrun with non-whites who, in many cases, just aren't that much into us. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. The reproduction of white people is being suppressed by a whole bunch of means. By prolonged education, by prolonged debt after the education, white people are much less likely to reproduce when they're in debt or when they're not economically viable than blacks or Muslims or Hispanics. It's a fact. White people, at least in our century and in the 20th century, are reluctant to reproduce, are reluctant to get married if they do not feel financially, economically secure. Whereas other groups, it's not a concern. They'll reproduce first and then worry about it later. This is a fact. There has been, and it was completely a Jewish-led, the immigration was completely Jewish-led. The emphasis on getting women to want to be something other than mothers. They want to be workers. That was, you know, the feminist ideology, that was Jewish-led. Also, and this is a big thing, white women and white men are particularly targeted, and they've just been turned into, they've been made fat. White women have been made fat. Black women are already fat. White women have been made fat and unattractive. Fat and unattractive. Except black men, who are used to fat, unattractive black women, they'll go for fat, unattractive white women. And white women have been taught two things. Three things. One is that it's important to be a slut, because if men can be promiscuous, then women can be promiscuous. It's important to be a slut. It's important to value sex for sex's sake. They've also been taught that to be an unwed mother, to be a single mother, is to be a hero. It's a badge of honor. And then also, to have a black child means you're totally not racist. And that's the most important thing, is to be totally not racist. And so, as my dog crew and I, as we go through the strip malls and the Walmarts, we see something like, it's like one out of three women, white women, walking around with a mulatto kid or grandkid. It is massively prevalent. There's very little white reproduction. And white civilization is not going to survive white people. White people are a minority already in 2023. We are a minority in the children of America. Amongst the children of America, whites are a minority, and it's only getting more extreme. And, you know, the thing is, some of the data that you see on, like, childbirths, you'll say, oh, well, you know, whites only became a minority in 2017 or 2015 or something like that. Well, the thing is, they're looking at the race of the mother. They're not looking at the race of the baby. When you look at the race of the baby, it's a lot worse. It's gone a lot farther. Now, here's the other thing, because I know we're running out of time. So whites become a minority. Does that mean that civilization comes to an end? Well, here's the thing about, let's get back to the Jews. Jews feel that they've got this paranoia, and it is, what's the source of it? Is the source of it their religion? And what is their religion? Their religion is the worship of Jews. It's the worship of themselves. They are God's seed. They are God. And they're not going for eternal life on an individual level. That's not a big deal to them. They're going for eternal life for their tribe. For their tribe. It's very different. But they also feel that if they don't control society, that they are going to be holocausted. This is, you know, it's in their religion, it's in their conception of their history, the Holocaust, and so they need to control things. And they, not just their own society, but really they need to control the world. This is what they're after, controlling the world. And you look at the very, very prominent Jewish role in the outbreak of the World Wars, World War I and World War II. Hey, Watch out. And now, look what's going on in Ukraine. Victoria Nuland designed this war. Zelensky, the Jew, is the head of Ukraine. It's very much a Jewish government in Ukraine. And, you know, you watch Tucker Carlson tonight, and he's saying how close we are to World War III. Well, we're close to World War III. How willing is he to take a brave stand and say what's really going on? He's not. And this is the thing. So David Duke said to me this morning, when Jews are the victims in the story, they are called Jews. When Jews are the victimizers, they are called anything but Jews. Right? So Tucker Carlson, he's talking about the war. And it's neocons, and it's, you know, weapons manufacturers. Other people will call it the New World Order. It's the globalists. It is the military-industrial complex. It's anything but Jews. And if you can't identify, I saw some guy, he was speaking, he's some guy from, he's a Jew. He's half Jewish. He's from Japan or something. And he's saying that Victoria Nuland, yeah, she was trained by George W. Bush. No, that's not how it works. These people are not working for George W. Bush. They're not working for the New World Order. These are people who have, like their ancestors, a tribal hive mind. And they are concerned with their particular conception of what's good for the Jews. Which, by the way, isn't necessarily good for the Jews. And it's certainly not good for the world. White people, unfortunately, maybe in different eras it wasn't like this, but white people have been conditioned to be more willing to accept their own demise, their own extinction, because, yeah, I mean, we could say something about Jews, but we might be called racist. So it's better just not, it's just better not to say anything. And so Tucker won't say anything. Honestly, I mean, Vladimir Putin, I'm a big supporter of Vladimir Putin, he's not calling out the Jews. Now, maybe that's strategic. Maybe if he's calling out the Jews, maybe it would be harder for him to keep India or China aligned to him. Or maybe it would be hard to keep his own population aligned to him. I'm not exactly sure why he doesn't talk about Jews specifically. But you've got nobody. And so this is why I'm addressing this to future historians who are trying to figure out what the hell happened to civilization? Why it went away? And why it went away is that nobody who was in a position to do anything about this was willing to say, hey, this is a Jewish thing. It's not that we've got to Holocaust Jews. Why don't we just try speaking honestly about it? But people won't do that. And why won't people do that? Well, here's the thing. As an individual, virtually every individual who is in a position to command an audience, virtually every individual who is in a position to have his voice actually heard, has too much to lose as an individual. Tucker Carlson's got his show and his eight-figure contract. But not just Tucker Carlson. You know, Stephen Molyneux, he had his, once upon a time, he had his YouTube channel with 100,000 followers, and he was able to support himself. People, if they're able to support themselves, I mean, the thing is, you talk about Jewish power, and you might find that you can't even earn a living anymore. That's what it's like. It is like... Is it called a Mexican standoff? It's like a hostage situation. So you can have one or two or three gunmen, and even one gunman often, in the old days, could hijack a plane. Now, if they got, you know, bum rushed, is that what you call it? Or Zerg rushed? Yeah, a couple of people would get shot. The first few people might get shot. But the crowd could take that person down at a at a bank or whatever, hostage situation, yeah, the hostage might get killed. First person or two might get killed. But if the crowd acts, they're going to take out that person. That's what we have here, is we've got a situation where the people who are in a position to do something, they don't want to be that first person. Like, if you had, like, for instance, you had Kanye West. Kanye West, for whatever reason, for mental illness, for whatever reason, I have no idea, he was brave enough to do what he did. And he's still around. He's kind of quiet right now. I have the feeling...
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Like, if you had, like, for instance, you had Kanye West. Kanye West, for whatever reason, for mental illness, for whatever reason, I have no idea, he was brave enough to do what he did. And he's still around. He's kind of quiet right now. I have the feeling we might hear more from him. But if, when Kanye West had started saying things, if Tucker Carlson didn't act like such a giant wuss, Tucker Carlson had him on. I mean, he had him on once before Kanye went DEFCON 3 on the Jews. He had him on before that. He wouldn't have him on after that. You had just a few blacks who defended Kanye and maybe even talked about Jewish power to the best they could, which wasn't that much. None of it. I mean, even Kanye can't talk about it very well. But you didn't have people speaking up. You don't have Tucker Carlson speaking up. You don't have Donald Trump speaking up. You don't have Elon Musk speaking up. You don't even have Vladimir Putin speaking up. And if nobody, you know, if Trump were to speak up, he'd probably never have any chance at getting back into the White House again. He doesn't want to do that. Tucker Carlson would get kicked off TV. Elon Musk, the richest person in the world, well, he just saw what happened to the richest black man in the world when he spoke up. Lost his entire fortune, pretty much. Elon Musk doesn't want to do that. Nobody wants to speak up. And so, that's why America was lost. That's why white people stopped existing. And they just merged into some mulatto weird group that, so I assume at some point in my future, but in your past, I don't know how it got eliminated. Did the Jews go Palestinian on them? Did they go Gaza on them? Maybe. Did artificial intelligence just say, hey, we don't need any of these people. We don't even need the Jews. Did artificial intelligence do that? I don't know. But this is the situation we're at now, where basically European, like the white race as an entity, has very little future. Maybe in Russia it's got a future. Maybe in a few pockets here and there. Doesn't really have a future in North America. And without whites, the white countries are going to go into decline. And maybe the Chinese and the Koreans and the Japanese can, maybe they can take on world civilization. Maybe they can take on world civilization and preserve a few aspects of white civilization. Maybe they can preserve Beethoven. They're pretty good at classical music. Won't be the same. Anyway, future historians, I can't take you past 2023. But here in 2023, the writing's already on the wall. Maybe there's a hope for civilization, but there's not really much hope for America as a white country. Hey, what's the big idea? Come on. All right. Well, with that, wasn't that cheerful? Don't you feel better? Next week, I promise you, I'll make you feel better. This week, you're out of luck. And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't!
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.